Amen. Hey, just a couple things, man. How about our new lighting? Isn't that pretty sweet, right? Come on. Amen. And you know, I'm like 6'1", so it makes me even look taller. It's incredible how that happens, right? But do a truly a special thanks. And this is only halftime. Like, there's so many more lights to do. Michael Smith, our man Mike Smith, he ran away. He usually hangs right over here. You can give him a high five later. This is his creation. Like, he is our stage production manager. Like, this guy does it, and he does it so well. And this is all do-it-yourself stuff. Like, he takes something and figures this out. And he has spent the whole week here in just transforming the stage. His daughter, Paige, who serves, she was our bass player. She's usually up in the booth. She served throughout the week. You had Alan, Frank, our man here. Of course, B-Man was here most of the week. And Tom both was here. And they etched it out in a week. And there's going to be more lights to go up. And this is just halftime for what they're doing. But to see our stage design and truly the creativity and just what Mike puts into it. He's in back. Could we be loud enough to say thank you to Mike in back, please? That'd be amazing. Amen. Really amazing. And we're blessed. We're so blessed by the volunteers and just the staff in this church. I say it all the time because it's a reality of what God is doing here. And I just want to give just a word. From Wednesday night. I mean, you had the outside fun and you had just the laughter and it was just crazy. Youth group is supposed to be crazy, so that's a good thing. And then we had our dear friend Abby Irving. Where's Miss Abby? Where is she at? Just raise your hand or dance or something. Okay, there she is. She's like way over on this side. And she had, I asked permission, and she shared this even at our Thanksgiving Eve service, just briefly what the Lord has brought her through in her very young age as a girl going through abuse on every level from an elder man. And the Lord has given her a license and a freedom to speak. And she gave just a brief, you know, 4-minute testimony on that Wednesday night. And then she opened up Wednesday night for the teenagers. And she just, it was incredible. It was just, if your teenagers missed it, you missed it. It was amazing that she could give praise to the Lord in a mindset that says, to God be the glory. And she spoke, and she said a couple amazing things that I'm just in the back, and I'm just praying, and I'm just praying for her for strength, and she just shredded it, man. She just ripped it out. And she said, gals, that scale don't matter when it comes to your mental health. I was like, oh, my goodness. And then she went into her testimony, and then she went into this statement that has just been in my spirit since Wednesday. I finally fell in love with the one who loved me first. And when she said that, I was just like, there it is. There's the whole message in a statement. And it became so personal for her with Jesus Christ. I finally fell in love with the one who loved me first. You crushed it. And our kids are blessed to have you as a volunteer. It was so good. I'm so proud of you. And the teens just heard an amazing testimony of one who can give praise after being so terribly abused. And as a cop, I sit back there going, oh, can I? And never mind, I won't go there. But you're just like, to God be the glory. It was powerful Wednesday night. in so many levels, but that was it. I finally fell in love with the one who loved me first. You imagine from a place of so much abuse and so much abandonment and so much being alone that she just understood the love of Christ. And it changes everything. It changes everything. I want to talk about a young woman in that mind frame today from Luke chapter 7. If you could turn there, please. NBC, we're just so thankful for what God is doing here. I'm so honored to be the pastor of this church with such great people. I thank you for calling us your home. Thank you for inviting people. God is doing a great work here. Thank you for your continued support financially, just walking in obedience. It's not like finances aren't complicated. We don't hit finances often because it's not complicated. Jesus died for me. He tells me to honor him and financially, and okay, high five. It's like if we're not giving, then we're missing a major point of honoring God with our finances. And we are givers here, and I am so grateful for a church who understands tithes and offerings without having to preach on it. And I love preaching on money. Jesus taught on money on repeat. There's nothing wrong with that. But we are blessed. And I thank you that you get it. And when you understand the love of Christ, it's not complicated to be able to truly give. And I think I'm going to start with Luke chapter 7, and then we'll get into some things today. And I think this is one of those services, when you start talking about forgiveness, it can begin to stir some things. And last week we started consistency brings victory, and this is just the first point of it's going to be a series that's going to go for a little bit. But the first point is forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is not an option. But please hear me, as your pastor, I know that that's not easy. I know there's abuse, and I know there's brokenness, and I know there's abandonment, and I know there's things in your past, and I know that there's things in your right now. That when you hear the words, forgiveness is not an option, it could stir up some emotions and it could stir up some things. But please hear me, as we've just been believing and trusting that there will be a true sense of freedom in your spirit, and a sense of release that when we understand forgiveness, as we have been forgiven, and we release that same forgiveness, there is a freedom that shows up within our spirit, and it truly is supernatural. And someone asked us, "Listen, like, how do I do this?" Like, I don't know if I can forgive. Sean, there has been so many wrongs done, and there are some deep, deep, deep wounds. So this is one of those moments, and this is one of those days in church that I'm just asking God by his spirit to do the work in his place. Because it can only be done by him that there is a true forgiveness for some deep, serious, broken wounds. And if you're right at Luke 7, I'm actually going to start I want to start here. I just want to read this. I want to start here because I think this is the picture that we need to get in our minds. And it's just Luke 17. And it's Jesus having this conversation with his disciples. And it says this in verse 3. It says, "Be on guard." I love it when Jesus says, "Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him," which means correct him. "If he repents, forgive him." And then here, verse 4 says this, "And if he sins against you seven times," watch this, "a day, if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, Jesus says, forgive him. And here's where it gets real for you and I. Sean, I don't know if I have the ability to forgive. Sean, every time that this name gets brought up from my past, I go back into a funk, man. It's just something within me. I don't know if I could ever really forgive. Sean, I have been so wounded. I have been so hurt. And we could go down a very deep list that is very, very real. I can imagine that these disciples and the apostles that the Lord is speaking with is saying, listen, if your brother sins seven times a day and he comes to you and says, hey, I repent, then you need to forgive him seven times. They're like, Lord, we're not capable. You know what their response was? If you're there, look at the next verse. It says this, and then the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Church, I think, as you just see in this passage, and I wanted to get into this morning, that when you know, man, it's going to take, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can just slip it under the rug, so to speak. I don't know if I can just release it. I don't know if you think it's just so easy. There's no one here on me preaching that ever think that there are times that forgiveness is easy. But it's necessary. What happens when today the answer for you is you need to increase your faith? You need to increase your faith. We see Jesus on a cross. At this point, he is shredded. He's bleeding out, unrecognizable as a human being. This mash of flesh hanging on a cross. And you have this criminal on his right, you have this criminal on his left, who rightfully belong there. And you have these centurion soldiers that just, they do what they do. This is what they do. They do crucifixion. They just tune people up. History tells us that those who would hang on a cross, they would spit or they would urinate or they would cuss and they would mock and they would do everything they could from that place of the cross to do whatever necessary to go after those on the ground. They would yell, they would scream, they would urinate, they would do everything they possibly could do. And what is it that Jesus spoke? Words that have never been spoken that I would know from a cross. It says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Are you kidding me? You ask yourself, what was it that turned one of the criminals' hearts to the Lord? What was it that possibly that they saw or they heard that could possibly turn one of them to say, hey, we deserve to be up here. This guy has done nothing wrong. Like something turned this guy. And I believe it was the statements that Jesus was making from the cross, from a place of just extreme, extreme love. Say, Father, forgive them. Then you have another example of Stephen in Acts 7, the end of Acts 7. You got Stephen, he is a type of deacon, and he is following hard after Christ and doing what the Lord has called him to do, to serve people. And he becomes so strong in his speech that the Bible says that the men that he was speaking to of what the history of the fathers, the forefathers did, and they just got so irate that Stephen would speak of Jesus and speak ill of the forefathers, and then all of a sudden they find this place where Stephen is now standing, and they've punished him to a place of death, of stoning Stephen, and you could imagine Stephen is standing there, and they've given him a death sentence, and they're just pelting him with these rocks. The Bible says that he falls to his knees. It says, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Church, what happens when you see the simplicity of Jesus here giving some instruction to his disciples to say, guys, it takes faith to forgive the deep wounds. So when you see this passage in Luke 7, you see this woman who has been abandoned, this woman who is considered to be a prostitute, this woman who has been used and abused. You see this woman where everybody knows her. For what she does. But it's amazing that no one would give her name. It's amazing the religious leaders knew exactly who she was, exactly what she does, and yet they wouldn't mention her by name. This is an amazing story of a woman who understood brokenness and understood loneliness. You can just put yourself in her shoes as a woman, and we don't know the whole history, but many of the prostitutes of the day were single women or abandoned women or divorced women who had no way to make finances, and they were kicked to the curb. And their only resource was in their abandonment was to be a prostitute. What a life. And then Jesus shows up. And then Jesus shows up. And somehow, some way, she heard of Jesus, or maybe Jesus was preaching somewhere where she was, and she heard the compassion, and she heard the mercy, and she heard someone teach like no one has ever taught. Maybe someone told her about this Jesus. However, she came into understanding of Jesus, she finds herself at his feet. So that she may be forgiven. This is amazing. We pick it up in verse 36 of Luke 7, please. And now one of the Pharisees was requesting him, that's Jesus, to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and your version may say a prostitute or an immoral woman. And when she learned that he was reclining at the table at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster veil of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who, watch this, and what sort of person this woman is. This is what he's speaking to himself. This woman is just expressing her love for Jesus, and she's before the feet of Christ, and she has this perfume, and she's weeping. And the word weeping here means someone that is out of control. There is this release within this woman that she is out of control in her tears, so much so that she's cleaning his feet and wiping his feet with her hair and with her tears, and she's anointing his feet with this perfume. What an amazing show. What an amazing display. And this religious leader says to himself, if he was really a prophet, he would know what sort of woman she is. What a horrible statement to say about somebody. You're that type of woman. You're that. If he knew. And I love where it's just proven once again that we don't get away with anything of our thoughts. Because he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, and that she is a sinner, or she is an immoral woman, or she is a prostitute. And then Jesus answered Simon, I have something to say to you. And he replied, say it, teacher. Moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. So which one of them loved him more? And Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. I love verse 44. Turning toward the woman, church, when you read the Bible, read it for what it says. Put yourself in the story. Here, this woman is just pouring her heart out to Jesus in her explosion of emotion. And the very one turns toward the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. And for this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, if he were to know what sort of woman she is, Jesus turns and gives this story to Simon, who was the Pharisee. And says, I know exactly who she is. I know her sins. In other words, he's saying, I know exactly who she is. Watch this. This is huge. She knows exactly who she is. And then he goes into verse 47. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. Could you imagine when she just hears that? Here, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisee, is speaking to Simon. He's having this conversation with Simon. And yet she's right there. She's right there. Could you imagine what happens when the very one that she is just lost it emotionally? And here Jesus is speaking to Simon saying, listen, I know exactly who she is and I know that her sins are many, but her sins have been forgiven. Like what does that do in that moment when he's having this conversation with the host, but she's hearing this conversation, says this, for her sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. And then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And those who were reclining at the table began to say to themselves, who is this man that he can forgive sins? And he said to the woman, watch this, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. My question is, when is the last time this woman felt this internal peace? When is the last time this woman, this prostitute, felt like she meant something to someone other than just a prostitute? And here the very one that has the ability to forgive sins looks to her and says, your sins have been forgiven. Your faith, I love that. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Church, we see this amazing picture of what it really means to be forgiven. What it looks like when we come before the feet of Jesus and we get before the cross and we realize all that Jesus Christ did for us on that cross, that blood was shed for us so that we may be forgiven, that there was a pardon, that there was a release, that there was a letting go of our sin, that we now stand before the Lord justified and innocent because our sins have been forgiven. And I try to look at this amazing, incredible picture. Or in knowing that forgiveness, it brought her peace like she had never known before. That's what happens when you and I understand that we are forgiven. And as we covered last week, Jesus tells us in Ephesians to go and forgive in the same way that I have forgiven you. What? Church, what is it? To say it's time. It's time to forgive those who've sinned against us. It's time to forgive the deepest wound. It's time to forgive that brokenness. It's time to forgive those, whether it is, maybe it's a mom or maybe it's a dad or maybe it's a brother or maybe it's a sister or maybe it's an ex-husband or maybe it's an ex-wife or maybe it's a current husband or maybe it's a current wife or maybe whatever that line lines up. Man, it is time to say it's time to forgive. But Lord, I need faith. At the end of this, I want to pray for you that your faith would be strong enough to be able to follow through with a forgiveness and a release. Because if you turn to Matthew, please, chapter 6. And we closed here last week, and I just want to get into this. And this is the Lord's Prayer, so to speak, and it's Jesus teaching us how to pray. And it's amazing that when you understand Jesus is teaching us how to pray, there's a piece to this that is quite stunning. And you look at Matthew 6 and you see it in verse 9, it says this, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I love this. Give us this day. I love that this is daily. I do. I love that this is a daily prayer. Our Father, this is very relationship specific. I am in relationship with God Almighty as my Heavenly Father because and only because of Jesus Christ on a cross. Jesus Christ is the way to the Father. Right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. So I have this relationship with the Father because I've gone through Jesus. The way to the Father is through the cross. So here we pray this very relationship specific. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed is that sense of holiness. Your name is holy. Your kingdom come, that speaks of his reign. That speaks of his authority. That speaks of his dominion. That speaks of his kingly position. Right? I love this because, man, I want something in our prayer life. We had a prayer series a while back. I'm going to have to re-hit this, but I don't know if we can talk about prayer enough, really. But when you understand the position of prayer, as we are crying out to our Father, which is a position that we have because of Christ, and we're crying out to one who truly has dominion and his kingdom reigns over all and in all authority and his kingly position, we're crying out to him in his domain and in his authority and in his reign and in his rule. There is some substance to that you and I can come before the throne with a boldness and a confidence to know the very one that I'm crying out to, who is my Father, rules and reigns and is in complete control. I love this. When we begin to pray, we know that God hears us, but yet we come boldly. We come crying out to him, knowing that the Father who owns and controls all things is hearing my prayer, and it's your kingdom come and your will be done. Let your desires be done, your plans be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Here it is. Watch this. And forgive us. Whoop. Do we come before him daily? Say, Lord, forgive me. And this is a part of the daily prayer. I love this. It says, and Lord, forgive us our debts. Watch what it says. As we also have forgiven our debtors. Church, what happens when you want to increase your faith, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, what happens when you get into a daily exercise? Working on building your faith. To say, Lord, forgive me. Just as I have. I love where the Bible speaks here that it's past tense. Before we even get to that place of prayer, we've already forgiven those who've trespass. Your version may say trespassed, or your version may say those who've sinned against me. I love it where this is this daily exercise and this daily work where we understand we've got to keep short accounts when it comes to wrong done against us. As I also have forgiven those who are my debtors. Can I ask you, is this your daily practice? Because it's difficult to truly hold a grudge when you are on repeat of forgiving those who've trespassed against you. It's this process of forgiving those from yesterday and then today coming before the Lord. God, I need to forgive and release and pardon those who've come against me. And I'm asking you to forgive me. How can I ask you to forgive me when I haven't forgiven them? It's amazing. But I'm asking you to forgive my debts today. Yeah, we come on our basis of faith to say, God, I need to come to you and repent from my sin. I get it, man. That whole basis of becoming a born-again believer in Jesus Christ is, yes, I repent from my sin. I believe that Jesus, you are the answer, and I have to surrender my life and confess that you are Lord. But there is this continuous forgiveness. Lord, forgive me if I would confess my sins to you. You are righteous and just. Forgive me. And then cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Guess what? 1 John is written to the church. It's written to the children. It's written to you and I. Church, what happens when we see this and we just zip through the daily prayer? Show of hands, how many could quote the daily prayer, right? How many could quote the Lord's Prayer, right? You learned it. It's in your spirit. Our Father who's in heaven, hallowed. It just becomes an exercise, right? Until you dig. Hold on. Before I come to you, are you saying I need to forgive those daily that have come against me. Watch. Mark 11 says this. If you have that, you could put it up, please. Mark 11, 25 says this. Whenever you stand praying, okay, wait. Matthew 6 is the pattern of how we pray. And then Mark 11 says, whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father who is in heaven, our Father who is in heaven, are we getting the picture here? Are we understanding that when you see Matthew 6 and in the Lord's Prayer, we go over that, we zip it out. We're like, okay, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. And then we just go through the whole thing, right? And then we stop and say, okay, whenever you stand praying, forgive. Whenever. You know what that means? Ha! Whenever. I'm your pastor, and I don't get this exactly right. Whenever you stand praying, forgive. For if you have anything against anyone, so that you're, look at the result, so that, parenthesis around that, like whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, what's the result? What's the fruit of that? So that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive you your transgressions. It's amazing. Can I encourage you to get into this exercise? To follow this beautiful pattern of whenever I pray. Try to get into a pattern of I begin my prayer with thanksgiving. I begin my prayer with gratitude, just being amazed at God and His authority and in His power. Then I want to begin to just say, God, I want to forgive those who have come against me, even yesterday. Because what happens if you clean the plate every day? What happens, church, when you clean the plate every day? The sins done last week become a real distant. I want to forgive those who've come against me yesterday. I want to pardon it. I want to release it. I don't want to talk about it again. I want to let it go. And Father, I'm asking that you would forgive me. What happens when you keep forgiveness right in the foresight? I need forgiveness. Lord, forgive me. Understand what it means to forgive others, because I've understood what it means that I need forgiveness as well. And in that, the Lord hears us and forgives us. It's amazing. How would it look if this becomes your daily exercise? Kind of clears the plate, because then verse 13 says this: do not lead us into temptation, but protect us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then he goes right back into, if you forgive others, then I'll forgive you. But if you don't forgive others, I can't forgive you. Can you just bow your heads with me, please, just for a moment? Hard as this might be today, forgiveness is not an option. Forgiveness is not an option. There has to be a release. Maybe you're in this house this morning and you just know, man, that name keeps coming up, or that hurt just keeps coming up, that pain just keeps getting fresh. It might be a wound from 20 years ago. It might be a wound from yesterday. It might be a wound from last week. What happens if you take this week and you start your prayers with thanksgiving, and you start your prayers with gratitude and the greatness and the grandeur and the majesty of God and being amazed by the cross every single day. And then we go into, Lord, I need to forgive. I need to forgive. And then maybe it takes you the next day to say, God, it's still there. I need to forgive. And then maybe it takes the next day to say, God, I need to forgive. But God, I need you to increase my faith. God, I need a greater faith to be able to really do this according to your word. This wrong is done 7 times a day, and they come back and say, I repent. God, how are we supposed to do this? How am I supposed to forgive? Lord, we need to increase our faith. We're going to have people up front to pray with you this morning. We're going to have an amazing time of prayer tonight. I want this to be a full day of just cleaning the plate. What's it mean to come before the Lord right now in this moment to say, Lord, I forgive? And then in your spirit, you give a name. I forgive. And then you name that. And then there might be a second name. Lord, I also need to forgive. And there's a name. And then, Lord, I also need to forgive. And there's a name. Just speaking those words with an understanding of how I have been forgiven can bring great peace. Bring great healing. Lord, as we sing this morning, I need you to take a little bit of time singing, okay? Just to allow people to really dig into this. To say, Lord, I forgive. And then you name a name. If there's a few names, you need to name some names. And say, Lord, I need you to forgive me. So we follow the proper biblical pattern of prayer. If we could just stand to our feet, please. As Miss Katie sings, and I'm asking that there would be a true release in this, that you would begin to name names of whom you need to forgive. Whether they've ever come to you or not, there is a release that has to happen right here in this room. This is a great moment. God, that you would move in this place by your spirit now, right now. But let there just be an anointing in this room as we sing and as we forgive. Man, if anybody needs prayer for any reason, man, we would love to pray with you. Come on.